All right. Well, let's see. Right. I believe I should be audible. Okay. Let's see. So, yeah, as people are mentioning in the chat, pretty crazy in Washington, but I, for one, will enjoy a little bit of a break for propositional calculus for a bit before getting back to the news. But anyway, so the other thing I wanted to mention is that if people are interested in being the people to officially answer questions or keep your cameras on, please do email me and I'll get people lined up to do that. Okay, let's see. So any thoughts or comments before we get started here on more notation and ways of building new propositions from old ones? Okay, so let me remind you of what the old notations that we had were, and add a couple more, and that'll be pretty much our full vocabulary. So again, we're going to be building new propositions from old ones. Yeah, okay, right, parenthesization. Not really. So there is kind of a standard order for parenthesization. If you are unsure, just add them. So someone in the chat is asking about the difference between writing not Q and not Q in parentheses. These mean the same thing. It's just that if you have a long series of symbols, it's sometimes unclear what it means. So if I have written something like Q and P or R, that's not very meaningful. And so it's important to include my parentheses so that it's clear which order I mean to take it in. Okay. Other comments or questions about the notation? Okay, so yeah, so we were building new ones from old, and maybe I will just write some truth tables and then add some names for these things. So first of all, the truth tables. Maybe I'll keep track of both at the same time. And so over here we have names. Okay, so let's look at two propositions, P and Q. And we want the full truth table for these. Oops. Which I pretty much always write in that order so I don't forget. Okay, and then there are various propositions you can build from that. And of course they're totally trivial ones, which I'll sometimes use. If I just write a T, I just mean the thing that's always true. So that just has nothing to do with T and Q, of course. So that's just a boring one. And the other thing we had was over here we had this tilde, which was not, and it has a couple more names. Let me just give them to you. You could call that the negation, or you could call it the denial. These are ever so slightly different. But equivalent to one another. Okay, and so if I have something like not P, that'll be the denial. And is it clear what that is, just so that it's clear to everyone what the notation we're talking about is? What's the sequence of T's and F's that not P receives in this truth table? So I hope that's clear to everyone, right? So we're just taking this T and negating it. I'm sorry, this P and negating it over here. So this is just FFTT. Okay, and let's see. So just summarizing, so the two that we had before were the and the or. Oops. Right, so these were and. And I'm not sure I wrote it before, but this is also called the conjunction. If you don't think and is long enough for you. And this is the or the disjunction. Okay, all right. And these are ones that we did before. So to be, we need them both to be true for the and otherwise it's false. And if either one is true, then it's true for the or. So those are the ones we had before. Okay, and now we're gonna add a little bit more notation. And these are conditionals. This one is called implies. Or a conditional. Okay, and it goes as follows. So it says that P, and it's sort of like what it means in English. So P implies Q, all right? So is it, if you just think about the English meaning, if I say that P implies Q and both of them are true, is it true that P implies Q? Is that clear? Yes, it is true. Yeah, exactly. So that one's a T. In fact, what's the only one that's going to be false if P implies Q? If I want P implies Q to be false, what are the truth values that P and Q need to have? Right. If T is true and Q is false, well then P does not imply Q, right? But otherwise we're fine. So the only one that's going to be false is this P is true and Q is false. And the others are going to be true, okay? Does that make sense to everyone? All right, let me put those in black. Okay, so that's the main new one that we're adding. There's one more, which is the so-called biconditional. And it doesn't really have a good English name. So it usually goes by IFF or if and only if. Or it can go by the name biconditional. Commas between these. Okay. Why is the third one true? Yeah. So this is a good one to try to think through. So if I say that P implies Q, that what that means is that if P is true, then Q had better be true too. If P is false, then I don't learn anything, okay? All I know is that if it should happen that P is true, then I learn something. But if P is false, then this is telling me nothing and therefore it's always true. That's why the third one is true. Yes, you need, yeah, right. So does that make sense, everyone? So this is only telling me something interesting in the case that P is true. And then what it tells me is that Q is also true. Okay, so it's gotta be this one. If P is false, then it's a true but uninteresting statement. Okay. Let me try building a few of these in English before doing a few more in the truth tables, just so that it's clear. So let me try an English example with the dog again. So English example. I would say that P is, my dog is hungry. And Q is my dog is inside. Okay, so then if I were to try to write a sentence, which is, let me finish this and then I'll respond to the chat box unless it's already been clarified by you guys responding to each other, which is good. So then if I want to get P implies Q in English, what I'm going to say is that if my dog is is hungry, so if P, then Q. So then it is inside. Okay, so it's a dog that comes in whenever it's hungry. Okay, so, and now I can go back up and look at my truth table here, and it says that if the dog is hungry, then it's inside, okay? So that's consistent with this. This would be that the dog is hungry but outside, and this says that that never happens, so that's a false, okay? So that also agrees. Now with these two, we're saying that the dog is not hungry, and therefore, and when it's not hungry, it could be inside or outside, and in both cases, the implication is true. It's not telling us anything. It only says something if the dog is hungry, okay? So I hope that makes sense. Are there any questions about this conditional? So it's an if then. If something, then something else. Okay. And these actually have names. The three and four conditions, you mean up here, these two here? Yeah. Maybe I'll add a little phrase over here and hopefully that'll help a little bit. So over here, another way to write this is if, then. Okay, so what this means is that if this first thing, and actually maybe I'll write a little bit more notation over here since we're kind of done here. So if we have P implies Q, it means if P then Q, okay? And so if P is not true, then this is fine. So, you know, I have this statement that says that if my dog is hungry, then it's inside. Well, if it happens that my dog is not hungry, then that statement's true whether the dog's inside or outside. Okay, so both of these are true. If my dog's hungry, then it's inside in this situation where the dog is outside, where the dog is not hungry. Okay, and in fact, in both of those cases where the dog is not hungry, it could be either place. Okay. All right, and actually a little bit of notation, as long as I'm already over here writing it. This first one is called the antecedent, and the second one the consequent, which is not a term we use a huge amount, but it is more notation. So antecedent. And the consequent. Okay. All right, and let me just try a few more that make use of these. So the Q implies P is the converse. And as long as I'm at it, let me give the last bit of notation here, which is a contrapositive. Actually turns out to be the more useful of the two. And it's not Q, which I can put parentheses around or not, let me add it, implies not P. Okay. You didn't understand what, is it clear now why it defaults to true, by the way? Not completely clear. Let me just try one more time with this example down here. So I have, if my dog is hungry, then it's inside. Okay. And I want to know, could that be a true statement? Okay. And so I look at what's happening in the world. And if it turns out that the dog is not hungry, then it doesn't matter where the dog is. This statement is certainly consistent with that situation. Right, because this statement only tells me something in the case that it's hungry, right? Okay, so that's another way to think about it. It's true if it's consistent with reality. That's what I mean by true, okay? Okay, any other questions about this notion? Okay, let's just do the truth tables for these other objects here. So so let's do the converse here. So Q implies P. So this converse here, and so for which one is that one false? Which values of P and Q, or if you like, which row of this table is gonna have an F in it? That's right, it's gonna be that third row as per the comments in the chat box. That's right, we've just switched the roles of P and Q, right? So we just switch. Which. So note, let me do one more, and let me do this last one, the contrapositive. So that says not Q implies not P. Okay, and let's try a few of these. So what about the first row? Or if you like, you can do all four of them, but for the first row, if both of these are true, if Q is true and P is true, is this a true statement? Okay, yeah, we're getting some disagreement. So what happens if Q is true and P is true, so we're in this row here, then this not Q becomes an F, and this not P becomes an F. And is this true or false? Does F imply F? We're still getting mixed answers. Okay, yeah, we're getting more truths now. Yeah, I should look over here at this one that implies, and by default, that's right. If both of these are false, then the implies one gives me a true, okay? So this means that this one's gonna be a true. Does that make sense? Okay, and let's see, what's the next easiest one? So what if they're both false? So this bottom row, yeah, that one's a true, that one's actually easier than the first one we did, right? Okay, and what about the middle two? So if I have a true and a false for P and Q, so then I would have a false implies true, and that is, let's see. That's right, it should be false followed by true. Okay. All right, great. So looking at these propositions and their truth table values, these propositional forms, are any of these equivalent? Do you remember what equivalent means? It means they have the same truth values. Yeah, exactly. The P implies Q and the contrapositive, and that's really why it's so important, because that's really very handy often. These two things are equivalent, and so you can switch them back and forth, and often it helps a lot in your proofs to use one over the other. Okay, the form if something, then something else is really common in proofs. It's really often something you want to prove, and since that's equivalent to this contrapositive, this is often what you end up proving. It's a very standard proof technique, so it's a good one to keep in mind. So P implies Q, and not Q implies not P, contrapositive. Equivalent. That's correct. Okay, maybe I'll just finish up this example with the dogs, and then give you guys a chance to try in the chat room coming up with a few of your own. So, so I have here the P implies Q form. If my dog is hungry, then it is inside. And let's just do. Oh, actually, I wanted to do one more. So, but I'm running out of space. So let me put it here. Okay, so I'm going to add one more here. To my truth table. Okay, and the one that I want to add is a not P or Q. Okay, so that's one in our original form. And what's the series of trues and falses for that one? So this is either not P or Q. Mm-hmm. That's right. It was the TFTT one is correct, right? Because if we have not P, then it's true. So that's going to be these two. If P is false, or if Q is true, so that first one. And also this one down here, but we already had that. So, but this is the one that gets left out. Okay, and why did I choose that one? Right, it's also equivalent. And since I argued that this is a common thing you want to prove, having yet another equivalent form for it is very handy. Okay, so those are yet another form are equivalent. As is this one here, so not P or Q. Okay, so I have these three forms that are all equivalent. And once again, when you're trying to prove if something is true, then something else is true, you might want to use either the contrapositive or this other form over here, the not P or Q to try to prove it. Okay, and so let me just try that down here in English. So let me try each of these forms. So if I had P implies Q, that was if my dog is hungry, then it is inside. What if I were to write the converse into my English sentence, what would that turn into? So I just switch the roles of my two clauses, right? So then I get if my dog is inside, then it is hungry. Okay, and we agreed that that's a different statement, right? It's a different dog that is only comes inside when it's hungry. My dog might come inside other times, but certainly if it is hungry, it comes inside. All right, and then let me do the other two forms. So the contrapositive, so not Q implies not P. If I were to change that into this English sentence, it would be that if my dog is outside, so not Q, then it is full, so not hungry. Okay, and as it's plausible, I guess, that that's sometimes an easier thing to prove than the first one. At least different, and therefore easier. Okay, and then the final one, if I were to try to get a sentence that had the propositional form not P or Q, what would that say? So that says either, because it's an or. And so let's see, so that's not P, either my dog is full. Q, it is inside. Okay, so is it at least plausible that one, three, and four are mean the same thing, and the second one doesn't? Any questions about that? Okay, so maybe I'll just toss you in breakout rooms for a few minutes just to get a little bit of a break from my talking. And let me suggest that you do the following. So breakout rooms. So I want to do basically what I just did. So find sentences, find English sentences, two English sentences, with the same, which involve conditionals, because that's what we're doing today. Which are, which have the same meaning. But different propositional forms. Okay, and actually, let me do two things. Let me say that the even room should do this, and then translate that into propositional calculus. And the odd room should go the other direction. Okay, so they should find two propositional. Find two equivalent propositional forms involving conditionals, and then find an English language equivalent. English sentences which model them. Okay, so does that make sense? So in the first, in the even rooms, I was hoping people would first try to think about sentences that are English sentences that are equivalent, that are, and then find their propositional forms. And in the odd rooms, to first find propositional forms that are equivalent, and then try to find English language sentences that go with those. Any questions about what I'm suggesting you do in the breakout rooms? Okay, then let me put you in there for about 4 minutes. Okay, let's see. So did any group want to share either their, well, let's see, let's start with propositional forms that are equivalent.
I can go.
Okay, thanks.
So I had that the conditional is equivalent to the contrapositive. So my proposition was, if I'm inside, I'm attending Zoom University. So my contrapositive was, I'm outside, so I'm not attending Zoom University. And that would be equivalent.
Right, that sounds exactly right. So this is this propositional form, and then the contrapositive. If I'm oh, sorry, you had it, you wrote it in the other order, right? But it was equivalent to this. So if I'm
If I'm not attending Zoom University.
Right. That's good. Right. Okay. And that's very. I mean, it's once you translate it into English, I think it's clear that those are equivalent statements, and so it fits with the logic. Right. Okay. Very good. Anyone else have any interesting ones that they came up with?
Yeah, I guess I can share.
Okay.
So we had the statement, I am a student at UC Davis.
Okay.
And the other statement was, I am a math major.
Okay.
And then we didn't do the equivalent. I guess we did the proposition statement and then the converse.
Oh, okay. I see. So you had P implies Q and Q implies P, that you worked out what those would be?
Yeah.
Okay. And was it clear that those were different, had different meanings?
Yes.
Okay. Right. So I guess one is if I'm a student at UC Davis, then I'm a math major, and the other is if I'm a math major, then I'm a student at UC Davis. Maybe a few schools like that, but not many. Okay, great. All right, did anyone else have any other thoughts before we move on to another topic? Okay, let's see, we have a few more minutes. So the other things that I wanted to do with this, I still had one more, the biconditional. So let me write that one down. And then I wanted to say a little bit about the rules that we can use to get between equivalent statements, okay? Because we found that, in these forms here, you can have somewhat different statements that are equivalent and actually fairly similar statements that are different, just like here. And so there are some formal rules that will enable you to move between equivalent propositions, which is often very handy. First, I guess let's finish up with the if and only if. Actually, I guess I have space here. Maybe I'll put it onto this same truth table again. So if I have P, if and only if Q. All right. So actually, just from the name of it, is it clear what the sequence of truth values is for that one? Okay, well, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. It's it's TFFT, and there are various ways to think about it. One way is that this is the same as having both the statement and its converse, right? So both P implies Q and Q implies P. That's the same thing. Okay. So let me put it over here. P implies Q and Q implies P. Okay, so that's another statement which is again equivalent to the if and only if. And actually that's often how you end up proving it, is with by proving those two things separately. Occasionally you can do it all at once, but this is often how you do it. Okay, so that's the last bit of notation. So we have all these symbols now. I guess I rolled them up, but the and or not implies and if and only. All right, and so then the last thing I wanted to do was mention some of the equivalences via rules. So rules for equivalence. Rules for getting equivalent propositional phrases, forms. Okay, and so some of these are in two different terms, and you could you can look them up and use them. So theorem 1.1.1 has things like not P is equivalent to P, right? So double negatives are fine in this framework. Things like P and Q is equivalent to Q and P. It doesn't matter the order. That's pretty natural. It's not very surprising. It also doesn't matter how you parenthesize them if they're the same. So P and Q and R is the same as P and Q and R, but that's because they're just all true or all false. So it's an and. If you mix the ands and ors, then it's more interesting. So if you have P and Q or R, can anyone see what should be equivalent there? One easy way to do it actually is to put words in place of the P's, Q's, and R's in your brain, and that sometimes simplifies figuring out. But if I want to rewrite both P is true and either Q or R, right? That's what it is. It's P and Q or R. How could I rewrite that as something or something else? That's right, exactly. Someone has it written there in the chat, sans parentheses. But you have this, you could have P and Q might be true, or R, P and R might be true, right? Either one of those would work. And so you can write that out, and often that's a useful way to go to switch things around. So you could have P and Q, or P and R, right? And similarly, if you switch the ands and ors. All right, and then so that's a useful one. Probably the most interesting is this De Morgan rule, which is the way that nots interact with ands and ors. So if I have if it's not true that P and Q are both true, that one or the other is true, sorry, that's an or. If it's not true that P is true or Q is true, well, then either P is false. I'm sorry, then if it's not true, they want true, then P is false and Q is false. So the true and the false flip when you pass a not through it, and that's handy, and it's true. And of course, if you switch the roles of true and false, it's still true. So the not of both P and Q, if they're not both true, well then one of them has to be false, right? P is false, or Q is false. Right, so those are very useful. Okay, so let's try using some rules or tables or something, and let's just try the following example exercise. So I want to find a propositional form for it's not true that P implies Q. Okay, so the not of P implies Q. Three lines is good. That's fine. I kind of wish the text had chosen some notation instead of always writing it out in words, but it didn't. So I will keep writing it in words. But yes, feel free to use a phrase like three bars for equivalent. Yeah. Okay. What I'd like to do now is find something that's equivalent to, find a prepositional form equivalent to, by for I mean equivalent to this one, the not of P implies Q, but I don't want to use any of these conditionals, so without conditionals. So by conditionals, I mean things like implies or if and only if. So I want to avoid using this. So there's one there, and I want to eliminate it and get an equivalent form, okay? All right, so I want to do this in two ways, just so that you can see there's one way to do it. So so does anyone have an idea for how I might approach that sort of problem?
My first thought would be to take the truth table for the conditional and invert the values.
That's a very good thought, and that's certainly one of the good ways to do it. So so you can just use the truth table. All right, so you have your PQ. And we want to figure out the truth table now for this new proposition. Not P implies Q. And as you said, you just go up here and look at P implies Q, whatever it is here, and just change all four of those, right? As you say. So so then we have F, T, F, F. Okay, so that's one way to do it. So that gives me something. And now how do I turn that into something that's equivalent to that? Oh, and then someone has a hint here. Multiple ors. Yeah, okay, I like that second one. I'll come back to that one because that's the second one I want to do it. To complete this one, what I need to do is find some propositional form that gives me this truth table. Right, so can anyone see, just forgetting what this one was, just forget what that is, and try to build a propositional form. Yeah, and I have it written there, right? So I just want this one to be true, right? So how do I get this one thing to be true? I need to have both that this is true and that this is false, right? So I can, so let me try it. So I'm gonna say I both want P to be true, and I want Q to be false. And then I can just write down the truth table for that. So the only way that's gonna be true is if we're here. Okay, so they agree. So I got something. So the answer is that P and not Q. So that's at least one answer. Okay, so does that answer make sense? And people are chatting about another way to do it, which I will do next. Okay, but is everyone happy with that one? Okay, so that's one way. And here's another one. So as mentioned in the chat, we already noticed that P implies Q is equivalent to this one over here. Not P not P or Q from before. So I can just make use of that, okay? So if I now want not of P implies Q, this is equivalent to not of not P or Q, okay, and now if I use De Morgan's law and distribute that through, which are equivalent to Okay, so I have people figured that one out. So, I see several people have got it in the chat now, but I hope it's clear now to everyone. So if I want to distribute this knot through here, what do I get? So what is the knot, those are gonna cancel, right? So I'm just gonna get a P for the first term. And I'm gonna have a knot Q. And what's my connector here? That's right. So this one was an OR, and so it switches and becomes an AND, right? It flips it over when I use the De Morgan law. Okay, so those are two ways to get it. And in fact, that turned out to be the same one that we found by exploring the truth table and looking for the simplest thing we could think of that had that truth table to it. Okay. So anyway, so these are quite handy, particularly the De Morgan law. Actually, you often end up negating a statement, you just run through a long statement and change, flip everything over and add knots. Okay, I guess we're out of time. So as usual, I will stop the recording, but I'll stick around for the next half hour or so if people have questions or